This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's just something that happens when you begin to speak that name. Things change. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Our Sunday school class may be dismissed. I'm going to take your attention to John chapter 11. While you're turning there, I'd like to remind us that on June 1st, we will be having our first service in our new facility. The address to that facility is 1944 East Highway 44. If you want to be involved with that, please let me know. We will be working on that starting the week of Memorial Day. That Tuesday after Memorial Day, we're going to begin the move. Excited about that. Excited and nervous all at the same time. But, amen. Amen. John chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Today I want to preach for just a little while on this topic, being loosed. Being loosed. If you would set your Bible down, we're going to pray one more time. Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful to be in your house. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to learn of you. And Lord, just to bask in your presence, I pray, God, that you would help me preach this as I felt it. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Looking back over this story, I'm wondering how Martha and Mary must have felt. This is their brother. And they know Jesus loves him. They know that Jesus cares about him. And now he's sick. And he must have looked bad, because they said that he was sick unto death. I don't know how bad it was, but I can only assume that he was struggling and he looks terrible. And so they know, if we call Jesus, Jesus is going to fix this. How many of us know that in 2025, when I call on Jesus, he's going to fix it and it's going to be all right? It doesn't matter how big or how small the situation is. Jesus has a way of making it all right. He has a way of making a way out of no way. When it seems like we're at a dead end, Jesus has an answer. Amen. But here's the problem. Jesus delays. The Bible says that after he got word that Lazarus was sick, that he abode there 2 more days. Now look, if somebody tells me that somebody's sick unto death, I'm heading out right then. I'm beating feet to wherever I need to go. But here Jesus is. He says, nah, I'm going to wait a couple days. His sickness ain't unto death. Don't even worry about it. Lord, he looks really bad. This looks like a bad situation, God. You don't understand. He's looking real rough, and he waits 2 more days. Anybody ever been in that situation where you needed God right then, or say you thought you needed him right then, and then he waited? God, I need you to show up in my marriage, and he doesn't come. God, I need you to show up in my finances, and it's a ghost town. Lord, I need you to show up in my health, and yet it seems like you get sicker. Go to the doctor and got to get cut on while you're in the office. There's just something wrong with that. My Lord. We believe that Jesus loves us. Amen. Look, I know he loves me. I know we sing about it. We preach about it. We shout about it. We tell our neighbors about it. But then he delays on us and we wonder, what did I do wrong? We start questioning ourselves, Brother Caleb. We start thinking, God, what did I do? Have I made you angry at me? Are you unhappy with me, Lord? What did I do? How can I fix it? You're not showing up. I need you, God, and you're not here. Don't you love me anymore? We don't understand God's delays. I don't. Sometimes I get frustrated with God, just being transparent. There's been times in my life where I needed that, what I thought I needed him right then, but he knew better. And that's when I come to find out that his delays aren't his denials. We got to understand this. If God says he's going to do a thing, he's going to do it, but it's not on your timetable. It's not when you think that he should do it. But can I tell you, even though I don't understand his delays, he's always on time. There's yet to be a time that he didn't show up right when I needed him. Not when I wanted him, but right when I needed him. Amen. Even when you have a need for him to do a miracle, he shows up on time. Now look, he done told the disciples, this sickness ain't unto death. Don't worry about it. I can remember a time in my life. I don't know if I've told this story here or not, but if I have, bear with me. It was a revival service, and there was this big old giant of a man. His name was George Guy. I would have probably looked him eye to eye standing here and him on the floor. Just a big man. And I tried to avoid him all service. Anybody ever tried to avoid the prophet? Somebody that you know knows right where you're at. Man, I'm going to tell you, I was playing hide and seek. I was going everywhere but where he was. And so we were on the closing night, and I thought I'd gotten away with it. Thought I'd gotten out of his sight. And I went to open a door to make sure something was turned off or something was closed up, and there he stood. I nearly jumped out of my skin. Ugh! And he said, son, I've been waiting to talk to you. And I'm like, yeah? He's like, yeah. He said, the Lord's got a word for you. I said, okay. And that's when he began to spill it out. You know, I want to call y'all Brother Nelsons, but I got three of you in here. It's all messed up today. He said, son, God wants to use you. But in order for God to do what he wants to do in your life, you're going to have to lose everything. Okay. I walked out of there and I got in the car, and it was a real quiet ride on the way home. And my wife looked at me when we finally got home. She's like, are you going to tell me what he said to you? And I said, yeah. He said, in order for God to do what he wants to do with us, we're going to have to lose everything. And she looked at me, and her eyes got about that big. She goes, well, that's not good. And over the course of the next little while, that's exactly what happened. We were attacked on several different fronts. And it was not unto death. I want you to hear me right now. The thing that you may or may not be going through right now is not unto death. I want you to repeat that with me. You may be going through a financial crisis. It's not unto death. You may be going under relationship problems. It's not unto death. You may be fighting a physical health battle that nobody knows about. It's not unto death, because the Lord knows how to show up right in the nick of time. I need you to hear me today. God is an on-time God. In verse 11, he said, these things said he, and saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he's just sleeping, he's doing well. And the Bible says in the next verse, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of him taking rest and sleep. And then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And watch this next verse, because I almost think I'd almost get offended over this one. And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. That's a little harsh. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad that I didn't show up when everybody else thought I should have. Why is that? Because he was a miracle in the making. You will never understand the miracle working power of God until there's a need for a miracle. When nothing else can satisfy, when nothing else can do, when the doctor says, there's nothing else I can do, when the loan application officer says, oh, we can't finance you, when all of these, when the doctor says, I can't do anything, that's when Jesus can step in. That's when the Lord gets the greatest glory, and that's when he shows up on time. I need you to hear me today. The sickness that you're facing is not unto death. The situation that you're seeing is not unto death. God works everything out for good. Amen? Or sometimes we'll get a word. Someone will give us a word. How many of us have ever been prophesied to? Anybody other than me? And then you get that word, and the exact opposite happens. Everything falls apart. You're going to be mightily used, and then the wheels fall off. Yeah, that's the way it happens. We think, yay, God's getting ready to use me. I'm getting ready to be some big name preacher. I'm getting ready to do this. I'm getting ready to do that. Can I remind us that all the apostles except for one were martyrs? We forget about that part. And the one that was remained, the one that wasn't a martyr, ended up on the Isle of Patmos with a bunch of rejects, boiled in oil and all these things. I need us to understand that. When you are getting ready to be used, it's like a tool at a mechanic shop. It's going to get greasy. It's going to get dirty. You're going to be put in tight situations. But can I tell you, as long as the master's got a hold of your hand, as long as the master's got a hold of your life, everything is going to be all right. Thank you, Lord. We need not be traumatized when we're praying about a situation and the master delays. Anybody knows about delayed miracles? Delayed promises? Delayed answers to prayer? Delayed anointings? My God. We need not be traumatized when it gets worse. We need not be. We need to be on our feet rejoicing rather when there's a delay, because we know something big is coming. We know something great's coming. Can I tell you, everything worth having takes a little while. It takes patience. I'm gonna tell you, I used to love getting Cracker Jack toys. Y'all remember the boxes of Cracker Jack? I don't even think they have that anymore, do they? I think I'm showing my age here. Or boxes of cereal when they came with toys in it, right? It was that free toy. And there was nothing in, and there was nothing to it. And it lasted about 3 times of playing with it. But the things that lasted cost something. And sometimes it costs a delay. Sometimes it costs time. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. And that's okay. The thing about it is, God is getting ready to do something amazing in you, and he's counted you worthy of a miracle, and he's counting on you. He's done seen what's on the inside of you, and he said, I can use that, because they're going to remain faithful in the storm. They're going to remain faithful during the delay. I don't have to worry about them, because they are solid. What we got to understand is not everything. We're so convenience-minded. I get mad if I have to wait more than 3 minutes for a Big Mac, when I need to bypass a Big Mac altogether. I digress. We get upset if we go to fast food and it takes longer than 180 seconds to get through the line. We need not be that way. The things of God take time. What we should be doing while we're waiting is we should be giving him glory, getting ready for the miracle. I thank God there was a day that I prayed for this. I come into this place today and I was exhausted. I come in, I was trying to talk to Brother Nelson. And I was yawning and carrying on because I was tired. But you know what? God made me for this. I prayed for this day. I am thankful for this day. I'm thankful to be in Shepherdsville. I'm thankful to be a part of Shelbyville. I'm thankful that God used me. And I did not get here overnight. There were some things I had to go through. There were some trials that I had to come through. There were some delays that had to happen in my life that I didn't understand. I remember being 40 years old, thinking that God wasn't never going to use me the way He said He was going to use me. I'd got that prophecy back when I was 28 years old, and here I am. I'm almost 40, and I'm too old to do anything now, is what I told the Lord. That's what I told him. It's 40. I was at an altar in a morning prayer meeting crying out to God, I'm too old. You can't use me no more. When all the while he was working in my favor, allowing life to happen to me to prepare me for what he had for me. I need us to understand every situation. How many of us have had bad situations happen in our life? Can I tell you that prepared you for today? That made you the person who you are today. God takes those things and makes something beautiful out of them. He takes our mistakes and weaves them into a masterpiece. He takes all of our problems and makes them a perfect tapestry. I need you to understand, and I mentioned this today, Peter was the least likely to be the spokesperson for the church. He'd done denied Christ 3 times. He did. Bible tells us about it. He stripped himself naked to go fishing. That's just weird. He cut a guard's ear off. He did all these things, and the Lord decided to use him. Who preached the first Pentecost message? It's Peter. Who was sent to Cornelius' house to tell him about the salvation message? Yeah, that's Peter also. The same one that failed multiple times. Can I tell you, your failure's not final, and God's delays are not denials. What you got to understand is he's working in the midst. You just need to be patient in the process and understand that God is working out something greater than what you could ever imagine. He gets real plain when he says he's dead. I'm glad for your sakes he's dead. Oh, my word. If some of us were to hear that, we'd be offended. If we heard, yeah, the person that you were praying for that you want me to come heal, yeah, they're dead. I'm glad. We would be fit to be tied. And yet Jesus knew what he was doing all along. The Lord is trying to show us he wants a situation to be so far gone that nobody else can take the credit. How many of us have had those but God moments where you knew it was God? Where you knew it was God. I've had a bunch of those, and I just knew it was God. And that's when God comes alive to you, when you know that it did not happen any other way. It wasn't a doctor prescribing this medicine. It wasn't somebody lending you this amount of money. It wasn't anything but God. It's amazing to me how this story is accurate for today's Christian. We see Martha kind of wishy-washy. What do you mean, Brother Lawson? Look at verse 22. Even now, you can heal him, but Jesus. And then in verse 23, Jesus says, okay, he's going to live. And then verse 24, in the resurrection, right? He's not going to live here. Jesus told her, Lazarus is going to live. And she goes, yeah, he's going to live. And he goes, right, I'm going to heal him. She says, yeah, in the resurrection. We deem things dead before God's done with the problem. We don't think that everything's done because of our finite thinking when God has already got another plan and he's going to supersede what you can do. We get kind of wishy-washy like that. God can do it for Brother Kalen, but he can't do it for me because it's me. He can do it for Sister Alyssa, but my problem's too big. Can I tell you and let me remind you, there is nothing too big for God. No sin, no situation. There is nothing too big for God. been asking God for some specific things. And my question is, do you really believe God to do it? Be honest with yourself. We pray, we go to prayer. I think sometimes we get monotonous in our prayers and it just becomes a habit and we forget the actual burden inside of our prayer. God, I need you to save my family. But after it's been a few years, you're still praying that prayer, but do you really believe he's going to do it? Do you still believe he's going to do it? God, I need you to save my marriage, but your spouse is still giving you more commandments than Moses gave the children of Israel. You know, I had to throw it in there. Yes, even when it doesn't look like it, God is working. Even when you don't see it, feel it, can touch it, he is still working. Right now, God is working on your miracle that you've been praying about. Right now, God is dealing with hearts that you've been praying for. Right now, God is healing some situations that you've been praying about. Right now, but you have to believe it. Power of life and death are in the tongue. Do you really believe he'll do it, or is it just lip service? Because that's what we're seeing here. Martha can believe him for the future. Mary was the polar opposite, though. When she rushed to Jesus, she was mad. She was broken because Jesus had the audacity not to show up when she said show up. She had the gall. Jesus had the gall to not show up whenever she said, I need you right now. We get so upset when we don't see the right now. We're not much different than Mary and Martha. We're really not. We're not at all. As a matter of fact, we've got more in common with them than what we realize. Lazarus is dead now. But if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus, if you would have showed up when you were supposed to, this wouldn't have happened. She believed for the past, and so many Christians are so hung up on what he did yesterday, what he did in the past. You know, I'm thankful for what God did in the past. Don't get me wrong. I've got some great testimonies, but I want to know what he's doing right now, because I believe he's the God of now faith. I believe he's the God of today. I believe the God that can still do anything and everything he did in the book of Acts. Amen. Can I tell you, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I may not see my family restored right now, but I see it in faith. I already see them standing at the altar with their hands held high. I can see it. You don't have to tell me. I don't care what my surroundings tell me or my environment or what's going on tells me. I know that I have a promise from heaven that God is going to make everything all right. And there's one thing God can't do, and that's lie. So if he said it, it's going to come to pass. Can I tell you, if he said he's going to do a thing in your life, that's what he's going to do. You just need to loose your faith to believe that God is going to do it. I wish somebody would clap their hands to the Lord. As a side note, did you see what happened when she ran to Jesus? She was followed. Church, when crisis comes and you run to Jesus, there's going to be people that follow you. When crisis comes and you don't buck up and pucker up and pout, but you run to Jesus, there's going to be people that follow you. There's going to be people to find out what's this Jesus that they're talking about all about, that he can still be King of Kings in the midst of all this controversy. John 11:33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened up the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself come to the grave, and it was a cave and a stone laid upon it. The scripture lets us to know that the things that hurt us, the things that keep us up at night, the things that cause us to cry into our pillow, they bother Jesus too. He is not a stranger to your pain. He feels what you're feeling. And just because he doesn't show up when you want him to doesn't mean he doesn't feel your pain. When your baby cries, when that sweet little child cries, do you not hurt with them? How much more does Jesus hurt with us whenever situations come? When we hurt, he hurts. He knows how many hairs or lack thereof are on your head. He knows everything that's going on with you. You don't have to dismay because he didn't show up at the time that you appointed. Then he gets very direct again. That thing you want God to do, you need to take him to that place. I'm getting ready to get deep here. It's that place that nobody talks about. In manufacturing, it's called root cause analysis. You have a problem, but there's a deeper root to that problem. And that's where the Lord wants to go. You see, he doesn't want to just address the symptoms, but he wants to cut down into where it's growing from. He wants to cut it all out. He wants to address it all of the hurt, all of the bottled up emotions, all the things that you've pressed down, all the things that you try to cover up because it hurts too bad to deal with it. That's where God wants to go. He wants to get right down to the bottom of it. It's that place that no one knows about, the place that hurts, the place where you hide behind a smile. You know, I've come to find, this isn't in my notes, but those that are the goofiest, those that intentionally try to make others laugh, most of the time they're the same ones that are with the most hurt. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. For he hath been dead 4 days, and Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, that thou should seest the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I want to stop right there for just a second. How many of us have had promises that stink now? They've been dead so long, they stink. Dead so long that they've got to be moldy by now because they've been so long. Jesus said, would you believe? What do you believe God for? What do you believe him for? Is there anything too big for him? Honestly, what do you believe him for? Do you just believe him for everybody else, or do you believe him for you? Do you believe that he can do that thing that seems impossible now? Do you still believe it? Do you still believe it the same way you did the first day you received the Holy Ghost? Do you still believe it like that? Do you still believe when everything says no that he's going to say yes? Do you still believe it? Jesus goes on and says, I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You know, one preacher said that he had to call Lazarus by name because if the Lord would have just said, come forth, there would have been a mass burial exodus where everybody would have raised up. But he called Lazarus by name. Can I tell you, he's ready to call your miracle by name. He's ready to call your promise by name. You just got to take him to that place where that dead promise lies. You got to take him to that place where your heart was broken. You're going to have to take him to that place that hurts you so much. You got to take him there and believe that he can heal it. Bible said that he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen things which Jesus did believed on him. Let me tell you a few things here. God is going to revive the miracle, but it's up to you to loose it. God isn't going to do what you can do for yourself. This is a participation type activity where it takes participation on your part. You've got to believe and he'll have it come to pass, and then you'll have to loose it in your life. You don't get a get out of work free on this. You have got to put in the effort. And here's what's going to happen. When the miracle comes to pass, the Bible said there were much that believed on him because of it. You know, I've never seen a revival break out like that where a miracle happened. Several years ago at an NAYC, I got a phone call. There was a young lady, she was an evangelist's wife, was diagnosed with brain cancer, inoperable. Pastor Jimmy Tony called me. He said, "Brother, we got to pray." He said, if God doesn't do something for this young lady, she's not going to make it a week. And right there in Oklahoma City, we began to pray. We're at an NAYC conference. God is doing miracles in this conference. But there's a young lady laid up in a hospital, away from everybody, all alone, with an inoperable brain tumor, all by herself, believing for a miracle. And so while she was in the hospital, she didn't complain. No, Brother Jones, she didn't complain at all. You know what she did? She started talking about Jesus. She started talking to her surgeons. She started talking to her radiologist, her chemo administrator, all of these people. She began to talk about the goodness of God. Here she was with a terminal diagnosis, and she begins to talk about the goodness of God. Can I tell you, something changes. I feel the Holy Ghost right now when you can praise in that kind of storm, when you can say all of this chaos might be going on, but God is still good. He's still on the throne. He's still working things out for my good. I want you to hear me today. Things began to change. 2 weeks later, I get a call. Same pastor. Brother Lawson, you ain't gonna believe it, but the tumor's shrinking. He said, but that's not the part I called to tell you about. Her and her husband got Bible study with her surgeon. God's doing something in that. There's been people that have received healing all around her because they were drawn to her situation. Can I tell you, when you allow God to work in your situation, he'll start drawing people unto him. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. When you lift God up in your worst situation, there's going to be people drawn because they're going to know something's got to be real about this God. How many people have we said that very thing about? Leave it alone, God. It's been dead for too long. It's been over for too long. There's no hope now. It stinks. The situation's too bad. I can't stomach it. Because that's exactly when God steps in. When the matter's dead. When the situation stinks. And nobody can do anything and everybody gives up. That's when God steps in. Let me tell you today, it's not finished until God says it is. Your situation's not finished until God says it is. What God's wanting to do, it's in his timing. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it smells like. God has no limits. God is wanting to use that situation to win someone. But you don't understand how far I've went. It doesn't matter to me. For one, I'm not God. But for two, his blood covers it all. There's nothing greater than God. And as long as we have a repentant heart, there's nothing that he can't forgive. Jesus yells, Lazarus, come forth. I believe it's high time we start calling the names in prayer to come forth. Our lost loved ones, the ones we're praying with, we better tell them to come forth. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you, I'm calling some names in my prayer hour. I'm calling some city names in my prayer hour. I'm getting very specific in other areas about what I need God to do. Because when you put your words behind it, God is hearing. Let me tell you something. You need to be specific. His ear is not short that he can't hear you. There's power of life and death in the tongue. And you can start speaking things. Jesus yelled, Lazarus, come forth. When Lazarus, the person everyone gave up on, hops up out to the opening of the grave, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He was still bound up in grave clothes. He was still bound up in the old man, still bound up in sin. He's stinking a little. And he tells the church, the believers, to loose him, to let him go, to help him out of his grave clothes, help him out of addiction. Can I tell you what? When people start coming to the church, we're going to help them out with whatever they have need with. I'm going to tell you, it's our job to get in their lives and to help them see who God is and to lead them and let them know that they're going to come out of this better than what they entered it. There will be people that come into this church that have grave clothes on, because that's what I'm praying for. I'm going to tell you, when I came to church, Bro Jones, I had grave clothes on. When I came to church, I had issues. I had big issues, and I didn't know how to fix them. But there was a church that encouraged and helped me along the way, that pointed me to the Bible to show me how to fix the things I had wrong in my life. Amen. That is our job. Amen. Amen. Matthew 9:11-13. And when the Pharisees saw it, he said unto the disciples, why eateth your masters with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto him, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I'm praying that alcoholics, addicts, every type of person make their way to this church, because those are the people that God's after. He told us to go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come. He didn't say to compel doctors to come. He said to compel them to come. Whosoever will, and whoever it is, that's who's going to be. And I have found that the people who have the most sin in their life become the best saints. We just need to go out and get them. When Shepherdsville, see what's going on here. I pray that they come, and I pray that we're ready to remove some grave clothes, to loose some grave clothes. Because I want to remind us, such were some of us. That's the thing I remember every day, is where God brought me from. As we stand today all over this house,